Next week on Travel with Rick Steves, be sure to join us as our international Christmas party continues. We'll check in on the special ways friends from Wales, Scotland, Sicily, and Hungary celebrate the season. And we'll hear about the special flavors of the season you'll find this time of year in New Mexico, and even how they celebrate the season at a research station in Antarctica. Right now, our European holidays take us to Greece. We're joined by Anastasia Gaitanou from Thessaloniki and Danae Kosouri from Athens. Anastasia, Danae, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Actually, I should say Merry Christmas in Greece.
No, it's Kala Christougena.
And what is that?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
But of course, anticipating New Year's Eve, we would also say Happy New Year. Kali Chronia.
Kali Chronia.
Chronia.
Anastasia, when you consider Easter compared to the rest of the Mediterranean, really, Greece is a big deal on Easter.
Is
Christmas celebrated with the same vigor as Easter?
Not really. I wouldn't say that.
Right.
Christmas definitely is very important because it's the beginning of everything if you look at it out of a religious point of view, because without the nativity of Christ, you wouldn't have Easter.
Right. I mean,
so you have to have the beginning.
That's true. With no Christmas, there'd be no Easter. That's for
exactly.
Sure.
But Easter is the culmination of the whole thing, is the peak of the whole celebration, because that's the salvation of humankind, again, of the religious point of view.
And in a Greek Orthodox style, the Easter is the huge festival.
It's the huge festival.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Christmas, I think, is mainly a shopping festival. And it's also a very good chance that we have to get again together with people we know that we cannot see very often during work days or weekdays.
So it's social, it's family time.
It's social, it's family time, gift giving, yes.
Whereas Easter would have more time in Mass.
Both. And Christmas is mainly more for small children as well because of the presents. And because of those family reunions, there's a lot of food involved in that.
So, Danae, when you were growing up in Athens, tell me this sort of the Christmas schedule for the family. How did the whole time unfold from
First of all, a child's point of view?
Yeah,
I was very excited because school was over for 2 weeks, so I had all the time needed to enjoy as a child. And, of course, it was shopping before Christmas. Presents for everybody.
Who brings the gifts? What are the
Santa Claus brings the gift. Actually, in Greece, is Saint Vasilis who brings the gifts.
Saint Vasilis.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a real personality, actually.
Now, do you have Christmas trees?
We do, certainly.
And how do you decorate them?
Oh, with thousands of Christmas lights and stars and all kinds of toys you can imagine. Small, of course, miniatures.
Right.
On the tree.
And Anastasia, I hear that there's a Christmas boat or something also?
Yes. Well, the Christmas tree is more a Western tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been using it for, I don't know, about 100 years maybe less. But we did not really have it before the early 19th century. The traditional Christmas decoration is the Christmas boat because Greeks have always been people of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So where Greece is actually a peninsula, three sides we have the seas. Wherever you are, you're not really far from that. So it was a boat, always decorated, either with little lights or earlier days, candles, or
can
whatever.
Can you still see that when you travel around Greece at Christmas?
Well, if you can see that, yes, in many places you can. And sometimes in the municipality, in a city, like in my city, many times they will have a big boat of lights, you know, next to the Christmas trees, and not forgetting
that would be
tradition.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It is.
Danae, when you are thinking of Christmas, what are the traditional holiday foods that you're likely to see? Is it a special menu or is it just the same menu as other days?
No, there is a very, very special menu. It's a turkey, of course, stuffed with meat inside. We also have pork, which is our favorite meat in Greece. And of course, it's all these delights we have, like the melomakarona and the vasilopita, all these sweets that are... The melomakarona are small honey pies. Usually they are stuffed with nuts inside and sugar and walnuts, yes. And honey and syrup. And they're
Sounds amazing, good.
Yes. Lots of calories, but believe me, it's worth it.
And Anastasia, what are some of the Christmas foods that you have fond memories of when you were growing up?
Oh, that's really difficult to tell. Everything tastes so great. What always remains in memory, I think we have lots of recollections of that, is that vasilopita that Danae mentioned, Pita means pie, in this case is a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And Vasilis is Saint Basilios or Saint Vasilis, who's our mm-hmm. Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
It is said that because he really existed, he's one of the great fathers of the Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
And he existed in more or less in the same time period as Saint Nicholas.
Hmm.
But it is said that once upon a time, they were afraid that the city he lived in would be invaded and they needed money and to organize a defense. So they did not have that money. So he asked all the people to bring their jewelry. So they did that, but they didn't need it after all at the end. So he had to give it back to them, but the jewelry was not tagged, you know, with names. So he didn't know whom to give it back to. So he had a big cake baked and he put all the jewelry in it, or small cakes, some say. And everybody got one of those small cakes then, by chance. Nobody knew what was in it. And it is said it was a miracle and everybody got his jewelry back. That's the reason why he's the one who brings the presents. So this Christmas cake, as we call it, has a coin in it.
Okay.
And we always bless it then, we cross it. There is a piece for Jesus, a piece for Mother Mary, for the house, for work. And then everybody around the table gets a piece. And whoever gets the coin has good luck and
for
prosperity for the whole year.
Well, that must be part of the fun festivities of Christmas
Eve. It's a lot of fun.
Is that Christmas Eve that you do this?
No, that is New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Okay. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Christmas in Greece with Anastasia Gaetanou and Danai Kousari. Anastasia, what are some distinctive traditions we might find if we happen to be in Greece during Christmas?
There are some traditions that go way back, like, for example, the Greek leprechauns, although they're not necessarily green. But they're supposed to be small and very, very ugly and stink. And they live under the earth and for the whole year. But between Christmas, that's the 25th, that's the Nativity, till the 6th of January, that's baptism, the waters of the rivers, or the waters in general, have not been baptized yet, which means they're not clean yet. So in that time period, they find the chance to come out of their whatever layer they're in.
These stinky leprechauns.
These stinky little leprechauns, yes. And they come out and they make a lot of noise and they cause a lot of trouble. They're not dangerous. I mean, they will not wound you or kill you, but if they come into your house, it'll be a mess after that. So in order to keep them out, because they climb down from the chimney, you know, you have constantly to have fire on, or you can put some sweets outside your doorstep, hoping that they get the sweets and go away, go to the next
house. And this
is
a whole season that you have to be careful about these.
It's 10 days, more or less.
From when till when?
It's from the 25th of December till the 6th of January.
Okay, Epiphany.
Yes, it's Epiphany.
So from Christmas until, for the basically what we call the 12 days of Christmas.
Exactly. And the tree of life then is, well, tradition says that the whole of earth is on this tree. So what they try to do is sow the tree of life and destroy earth. But they come out during these 12 days, and when they go back, then the tree is whole again. So they have to start all over again, and that goes on every year and every year.
Every year, the struggle every year with the stinky leprechauns. And Danai, what is one other dimension of a Greek Christmas that might be unique?
Well, actually, it has to do with New Year's Eve. And the pomegranate as fruit, since the ancient time period in Greece, at least, it was a sacred fruit. It has a symbolism, probably because of all these seeds that it has inside.
Fertility, so,
fertility, but also prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
So every year, 12 o'clock after midnight, when we have the change and the arrival of the new year, we always smash a pomegranate fruit at our doorsteps, so the red color from the fruit goes around. Yeah, it's messy, but it symbolizes good luck for New Year.
Well, this is the same culture that throws plates against the wall when you go crazy
much,
in a restaurant.
Yes.
Okay.
And all these seeds symbolize prosperity for the New Year. Again, good luck.
Great. Danai and Anastasia, thanks so much for giving some insight into your culture's holiday festivities. Can you one more time wish us a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year?
Καλά Χριστούγεννα
και καλή χρονιά.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Παρακαλώ.
It wasn't until 1975 that the people of Basque Country in northern Spain were able to restore their own special holiday traditions. That was after the end of the Franco dictatorship that had banned all uniquely Basque symbols and traditions. Augustine Cerisa joins us now on Travel with Rick Steves for a look at how his community enjoys the holidays now in Basque Country. Augustine, welcome.
Thank you.
Now, how do you say Happy Christmas in Basque?
We would say Sorionak eta urte berrion, saying Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
First of all, Basque culture is partly in France and partly in Spain. You're from San Sebastian in Spanish Basque Country. And Basque is distinct from Spain in so many ways. You've got a language that's not even related to Spanish.
Yeah.
How is the Basque Christmas celebration distinct from the Spanish Christmas celebration?
We do have a different Santa that we call Olentzero. Olentzero is a figure, is a character that was created 50 years ago, not older than that. He was a man living in the woods, in the forest, that he was producing coal in the mountains, and he probably was not very friendly. He was alone, a single man living in the mountain. Well, he had a wife called Maria Domingi, and he would come up for Christmas to bring presents for the kids. So
he was invented just 50 years ago?
Yeah.
Why would you create a mythic character just 50 years ago?
I would say to face the dictatorship. I mean, since everything was...
During Franco's time.
True.
And Franco was making you be Spanish.
Yeah.
And you did not want to raise your children with a Spanish Santa Claus.
That's right. That's right. We would have a celebration, Christmas Eve, that we now call Gabongawa. And it was known as Onencero. And this is dated back to the early 16th century. But they would celebrate the Christmas time. Mm-hmm. We had a different religion before Christianism arrived with the Romans to the area. So it's a kind of a mix of mythology and the celebration itself, since they would celebrate New Year's Day on April with the new springtime.
Mm-hmm.
So they started celebrating this kind of transition from that religion called Amalur, Mother Earth, into Catholicism.
So the Basque religion before the Roman Catholics or the Christians came was Mother Earth religion.
True.
So all over Europe, people incorporate the pagan pre-Christian religions into the modern Christian Christmas celebration. Give a specific example in Basque Country, one part of your ritual that would predate Christianity.
Well, we on this religion, we would pray for the sun and the four elements of nature, and would have all different kinds of mythological characters. Like the most popular one is called Basayaun, as the man of the woods, the man of the forest, who would protect the nature and who would try to maintain everything on a good balance.
So there was a sort of a respect for nature and almost an environmentalism worked into your Christmas celebration.
Correct.
Because nature brought the bounty.
Yeah.
All the goodness was coming from nature. Now, Basque Country is famous for its food. We go to San Sebastian, your town, and I just want to eat all day long. We've got tapas are fun in Spain, but in Basque Country, gourmet tapas, and in San Sebastian, I think the very best.
Mm-hmm.
How do you celebrate, from a food point of view, the Christmas season?
Okay, we obviously have a big dinner consisting in different sharing food on the table. Ham, this traditional Spanish ham that is so popular as well there. In my home, we would have the white asparagus.
White asparagus?
Yeah,
okay,
I mean, something light as well.
Mm-hmm.
The foie gras coming from the southern France will be always on the table. The different ham, some shellfish like prawns, shrimps, and if you can afford it, to have a lobster as well. And then we would have either meat and fish. Well, both of them, actually. We would have kind of a transition from the starters to dessert going through fish. I like very much. And we usually have that, the hake barbels.
What is that?
They would call them cocoches. So this is the hake barbel. This is this piece of the neck of the hake fish.
Oh.
Which is very tender and very
So the junk. Hake fish is a white fish?
Yeah.
The neck of the white fish, the hake fish.
The low part.
That's the tasty part.
Yeah, very tasty.
I think I've had that in just tapas.
Probably.
In gourmet tapas in a bar in San Sebastian.
Probably.
Whoa.
And there to go with a piece of meat, usually tenderloin, beef meat.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Augustine Cerisa. We're talking about celebrating Christmas time in Basque Country. Augustine, you mentioned the man in the woods, the lonely, single, mysterious man in the woods that brings the children the gifts. Tell more about when you're a child in Basque Country, how he brings the gifts and when you receive them, and if there's a way that the parents can kind of terrorize the children into being good children instead of bad children.
So this person, the Olentzero, comes on December 24 and brings my Christmas gift. And if I would have behaved improperly, if I would be a bad boy, I would get coal.
Coal.
Instead of any other
person. So your guy's been communicating with our Santa Claus. They do the same thing.
Yeah, very similar rituals.
Do you open your presents on the Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
We do open on Christmas morning.
Uh-huh. So he comes at night?
Yeah, he comes at night.
Do you give him some goodie before, like waiting for him to...
You leave your socks in the room on the table or whatever. And then, you provide him some kind of snaps and some food.
Some snaps?
Yeah.
Get him in a good mood.
Yeah.
Get him in a good mood.
And keep going. Energy.
Now, when you think about the general schedule for the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, can you just walk us through the schedule, how you will do that this Christmas?
So for us, it starts a bit earlier, December 21st.
Mm.
That's when we celebrate St. Thomas.
Hmm.
We would celebrate St. Thomas as a big popular day. And it's kind of the beginning of Christmas for everybody. Everybody returns back home for that day and meets their relatives. And that day, everybody's on the street, dress up on their local outfit, and they go for eating the local sausage and have apple cider and visit the market. Back in the old days, all the workers would get the extra pay, Christmas extra pay, so we'll have the money. And we'd go to the market to buy the tools to keep working for the next year. So they would come into San Sebastian from all the neighborhoods. That would be the big marketplace. Now has become a big pre-Christmas event in which everybody's dressed up on the local outfit and having a good fun and enjoying the market.
December 21.
December 21. 3 days later, we have Christmas Eve, and we have this parade in which everybody shows the Olentzero on the street and sings to the Olentzero to come and be good and generous with the kids. Then the following day...
So this is the man that you've created, the lonely, interesting man from the woods. So you have a parade to the streets and we're all going to celebrate him and we've been good, bring us some good gifts. Okay, that's the Christmas Eve parade.
That's right. And then we wake up in the morning on Christmas, we open all the gifts and we have a big meal all together again. So we have a big dinner and then a big meal again. Starters and two mains and a big dessert and a lot of drinks. People are, you know, usually having champagne and good wine. And
when if people go to church, do they go at midnight or in the morning?
The classic, the most popular was the what we call Misa de Gallo, which is translated into the hen's mass, and it used to be midnight. But now, since no one is going out after dinner to mass, to church, they have it at 5 p.m., 6 p.m.
On Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve.
So before the family dinner, you'll go to the Mass.
Yeah.
Okay. And on Christmas Day, 25th, it's mostly just eating more and having more fun with friends.
Yep.
That's it?
That's it.
Playing with your toys.
Yeah.
Agustin Sarisa, thank you so much for joining us. And can you one more time say, in Basque country, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Zorionak eta urte berrion.
All right. I'll never learn that, but I would like to be in Basque country sometime on Christmas. Thanks again, Agustin.
Thanks to you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton.
With Sarah McCormick.
And Isaac Kaplan-Woolner. And our theme music is by Jerry Frank.
Join us again next week as our holiday celebrations continue.
On Travel with Rick Steves.
Support for Travel with Rick Steves comes from Rosetta Stone, helping you learn a new language on your smartphone. Rosetta Stone uses images and games to teach instead of rote memorization. Learn more at rosettastone.com/ricksteves.